outside. And all them crazy murderers will never run from inside. You try to keep me down cause you see no joy. All them knows them from, so you call a man a boy. I ain't a tie, can't just see. Open up your eyes.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real.
And here we go, folks. It is Thursday, November the 12th, 2020. And yes, believe it or not, folks, you are listening to today's edition of The Ugly Truth broadcast. It's been quite a while, folks, since we've been together. In fact, a couple years, if we really want to get down to the math of it all. Those of you who followed the work that we did know that our website was shut down after 13 years and about 20,000 articles and about 20 million hits. We had just rounded the corner of 20 million hits on the website when I received the nice little email from the WordPress people announcing that they had shut down the website. And when I asked for a reason why, they said, "We don't have to give you a reason why. We're shutting it down." Well, folks, we know why it was shut down, because in this, the information war that is going on these days, the last thing that that the agenda needs is for the light of truth to be shown on its evil deeds. As soon as the light of truth is shown, that light has to be switched off, and the person, the offender, who has decided to shine that light of truth has to be stopped and silenced. And that is basically what happened, and I saw this as a sign, folks, from a higher power that I was supposed to just take a break from all of this for a while, which I have done. And to be honest, folks, I don't know why I'm here doing this again. I think mainly because of the handful of people with whom I maintained contacts after the website was shut down have been, well, pleading with me ever since I kind of broke away from all this to come back to it. And as those of you who have followed my work over the years know, I do have a new website up. And and I've been promising a lot of these folks who have been pleading with me to do something that I would eventually do something. And I guess eventually has now finally arrived, folks. If you are listening to this program, that means that I went ahead and decided to post it. I have done a few programs in the recent past, but I just wasn't comfortable with them. Obviously, folks, I'm very rusty. I haven't done this in a couple of years, and for the most part have relegated my time to working on the ranch here and basically shoring up what needed to be done in order to deal with the storm that we are facing right now and the bigger storms that are to come. And they are coming, folks. Make no mistake about that. 4 years ago, when candidate Trump had become President Trump, I warned everybody that they needed to basically prepare themselves for the worst, because what we were going to see was something that none of us, at least those of us who didn't live in countries that were politically unstable, and those of us who had not seen war and things like that, those of us who have lived in the good old U.S. of A. our entire lives and have known nothing but, you know, the American way of life, that we were going to see things and experience things that we have never seen or experienced before. And, you know, I suppose that I could start off today's program telling many of the people that with whom I argued for years about all of this. I guess I could start off today's program by saying I told you so, but it isn't necessary for me to do that, folks, because the facts are plain. the country is being torn apart piece by piece, and it is all because of one man and his plans for basically what I would characterize as a 9/11 U-turn. And we will get into that in a bit, folks. I don't know how long today's program is going to be because, quite honestly, as I said, I'm kind of flying blind here. I came into this having a million things to say and yet at the same time not preparing anything in the way that I used to in years past when I would do my programs. I would choose certain topics that I was going to focus on, and then I would break those down, into subatomic particles and explain what they all were about and how they all fit into all of this. And as I said, given the fact that I am very rusty at this, I basically have just got to, I guess it's like getting out and jogging again after you've been laying on your back nursing a sprained ankle or something. You have to start off limping, and then you try to walk, and then you try walking a little faster, and then maybe you're going to jog. So anyway, I do want to send out a very hearty note of thanks to those of you out there who have kept in contact with me and have said, are you going to come back? We really, the world needs your voice. The world needs your perspective on this. There really isn't anywhere else. I've heard this many times, folks. There really isn't anywhere else where people are going to get the kind of analysis and information and perspective that they will get, that they have gotten off of your program and website. And unfortunately, folks, that is true. And I say unfortunately because we wouldn't be in the mess that we're in right now. And make no mistake about it, folks, we're in a big mess and it's just getting started. We wouldn't be in the mess that we're in right now if more people did look deeper at the problems that we're dealing with. If people really did take all of this seriously enough that they were willing to just be fanatics about, finding the truth, finding a cure for this disease. And unfortunately, one of the very hard and painful lessons that I've had to learn in all of the years of doing this, folks, is that there are a lot of people who consider themselves woke, who consider themselves part of the resistance and part of the, let's take our world back movement, but they really aren't. They consider themselves to be warriors for the truth based upon no other identifying criteria than the fact that they happen to have a computer hooked up to the internet, and that's it. And, in the year and a half, 2 years since I have been here behind the microphone, as they say, doing this, I have just, in a very cursory way, I guess we would say, just popped in to various places to see what people were saying. And I'm not talking about, the mainstream media. I'm talking about our very own alternative media. And the absolute nonsense that I saw and the absolute nonsense that I saw taking place on these websites, things being discussed, perspectives that were being put forward that basically have only worked to exacerbate the problem and make it worse. It just left me speechless, folks. Really, there has just been, the other week, it was a week ago, actually, it was election night, I was approached by an Iranian media outlet, one that I've appeared on many times and who has requested many times over the last couple of years would I come on the program, and I've always politely said, no, I'm not going to come on, I'm sorry, I'm done doing that. And this time I went ahead and agreed to appear on the program. We were talking about the elections. And, I was on this panel with four or five other people who were supposed to be political experts, some of them American, some of them in the Middle East. And, they were all saying the same thing, that Trump's going to lose and Biden's going to win and the world's going to be a much better place after Joe Biden wins because he is going to reverse all of these policies that Trump has put into place, and he's not going to be anti-immigrant like Trump is, and he's not going to be anti-black like Trump is, and we're not going to have any more George Floyds getting killed in America's cities because Joe Biden and I, when they finally came around to me, I didn't have any. I was just stunned. I was shocked at what I was hearing, and I told them. I said, you know, it's been several years since I've been on a program of this type, and I'm astounded at the stupidity that I'm hearing from all of these so-called experts on this program. And I said, you know, I could go down the list and, you know, very competently and authoritatively refute all of the things that you have alleged here. I said, but let's just start with two. Let's start with Trump being anti-immigrant. You realize, of course, that his wife is an immigrant. His wife is an immigrant. Okay, let's move on to George Floyd. You do realize that black men in America, along with white men and Hispanic men and all sorts of other people, that they died at the hands of police long before Donald Trump became president. And I reiterated my shock. I repeated the fact that I was basically just speechless at the kind of stupid and baseless commentary that was coming across the airwaves. And this is a big station outlet. This was an Iranian news outlet, 24-hour news outlet similar to CNN that's broadcast to the Arabic-speaking world in the Middle East. So you're talking about hundreds of millions of people. And I said, and then if Biden gets elected, there won't be any more wars in the Middle East. And I said, have you people forgotten about who Joe Biden is? Joe Biden was Barack Obama's vice president for 8 years. And during the 8 years of Barack Obama's presidency, millions of people in the Middle East were killed or displaced or made homeless, made refugees. Libya was completely annihilated by Barack Obama with Joe Biden as his vice president. Syria and everything that happened there with ISIS and all of these other Western and Israeli-trained terrorists, millions of people had their lives destroyed, and Joe Biden was an integral part of it. How many new wars have been started in the Middle East in the last 4 years since Trump was made president? Zero. Zero. And in fact, this is the reason why there is this drive to get Donald Trump removed as president, because of the fact, bringing this thing full circle, as our dearly departed and greatly missed friend Mike Piper used to say, bringing this thing full circle, this is the reason why they have been in this fanatic drive to get rid of Donald Trump since the moment he descended the escalator at Trump Tower and announced that he was going to seek the presidency, because he has been planning all along a 9/11 U-turn. I apologize for that. My border collie is barking, probably chasing the sheep back into the corral. Anyway, it is because of Trump's intention to do a 9/11 U-turn and to stabilize the Middle East and bring an end to all of the bloodshed and the disaster that was, you know, let's face it, folks, it's been going on for decades, generations, but definitely was accelerated after 9/11. That's the bottom line, folks. That is why we are facing all of this that we are facing right now, because of Donald Trump's stated position that the wars in the Middle East have been the greatest disaster that has ever befallen America, and that he intends to bring an end to them. Now, and then they asked me on the program, they said, well, what do you think will happen if Biden gets elected? I said, well, if Joe Biden gets elected, first of all, it's only going to be because he stole the election. It's not going to be because of his popularity, because because he doesn't have it. Yeah, I mean, you know, the liberals, the Democrats, they're always going to vote that way. They would vote that way for literally for a corpse, okay, because that's the way they are. That's the way they are trained to be. They're not deep thinkers. They're not principled people. They're not. And they would vote for, like I said, for a corpse if he or she were a Democrat. If Joe Biden wins, and I said this, and I said, please, everybody here listening to this who has participated in this discussion tonight, pay attention to what I'm saying. If Joe Biden wins, then each and every one of you can congratulate yourselves and pat yourselves on the back for helping to elect the man who started wars against your country, because that's what he will do. That is the whole reason, the entire reason, for this drive to get rid of Donald J. Trump. Now, again, folks, those of you who followed my work and the program know that these were things that were discussed 4 years ago before Trump had been elected. And my indicator for this was looking at how the organized Jewish lobby in America was reacting to Trump, and especially, and folks, you need to pay very, very close, careful attention to this, okay? Because if you don't pay attention to this particular thing that I'm about to describe to you, then you're going to miss the bullseye on this target. Especially, folks, the neoconservatives. Now, for those of you who are new to this program, and maybe don't understand the significance of what neoconservative means, These are the people singularly responsible for the destruction of Iraq, the invasion of the Middle East on the part of America and the West. They have a very, very limited, finite mission. And their mission is to utilize their influence in the media and in think tanks and to worm their way into various administrations and to use their positions in order to further the cause of war against the Islamic world for Israel's benefit. They are paid, well-trained, well-resourced spies for Israel. Now, names of some of these creatures responsible for doing this. People like Richard Perle, Bill Kristol, Paul Wolfowitz, the Kagan brothers, Elliot Abrams, Elliot Cohen, Max Boot, Jennifer Rubin. Okay, all of these Jews, folks, all of these Jews whose sole mission is to make sure that America stays the course that was set for her on 9/11, which is to remain at war against the Islamic world, all 2 billion of them, for however long it takes until Israel's enemies are vanquished. Now, people are going to say, well, you know, why this? Well, because, again, folks, and pay very, very close attention to this, the newbies here, the new people, the new listeners. Israel, the creation of Israel, it is thousands of years in the making. Now, they celebrate their birthday every year, and it's supposed to be, you know, about 70 years old. But in truth, no, folks. In truth, Israel was created the moment that the Old Testament was written. The birth of Israel is recorded within the pages of the Old Testament, or the Torah. Okay, with this idea that there's this tiny little group of people that somehow, for whatever reason, the creator of the entire universe and all of its beauty and all of its magnificence and all of the rest that favors this one tiny microscopic speck of humanity, and has given them a special place in the world known as Israel. The Promised Land. Now, these people, folks, they really do take all of this business deadly seriously. deadly serious. And it's not just this little slice of land along the eastern shores of the Mediterranean Sea, as we're told. You know, a land for a people without land, or whatever it is that they have conned the world into believing now for the last 60 or 70 years. Okay. Their goals are the entirety of the Middle East, from the Nile to the Euphrates. Now, those of you who are new to this program and new to this topic are saying to yourselves, well, how do you know that? How do you know they plan to take everything from the Nile to the Euphrates? Well, because, folks, I read what they write, and I listen to what they say, and it's right there in black and white if you would just sit down and bother to read it for yourself, and it's right there in the Bible, right there in the Old Testament, literally within the very first book, the very first chapters of the very first book, the book of Genesis, very clearly laid out from the Nile to the Euphrates. Now, how is Israel going to achieve this mission of stealing all of this land when there are 300 million Arabs living on it? Because if you pull yourself out a map and you look, okay, so there's the Nile right there, and here is the Euphrates all the way over there. And look at all these countries that are in between those two. You've got Palestine, you've got Lebanon, you've got Syria, you've got Jordan, you've got Iraq, you've got Syria, you've got, even if you really want to take that, to its logical extensions, you know, you've got parts of Turkey, you've got parts of northern Saudi Arabia. This is what these people believe is theirs, and they believe that it is our duty, the great being the great-great-great-grandchildren of the same Roman Empire that destroyed the Jewish state 2,000 years ago. They believe that it's our duty to bring them back and to put them back on course where they were 2,000 years ago before the Romans came in and put down this rebellion in Judea. And that, folks, is the reason for all of the instability that we are experiencing right now in the world with regards to Donald J. Trump. It is his stated position that he is going to bring peace and order, law and order, to the Middle East, that the United States is going to pull out of this, and the neocons understand the big implications involved in this. They understand that once he sets that course, what that means is that they're going to have to pull off another 9/11. And they may not be as lucky the next time as they were 19 years ago. 19 years ago, there were all sorts of things that went wrong with 9/11, not the least of which was the fact that those five Israeli intelligence officers were arrested in New Jersey, filming the towers coming down and celebrating. As soon as those five spies, who also happened to have maps of the city, and they had multiple passports, and they had a lot of cash on them, as soon as the news hit that they had been arrested, Israel and her supporters knew that they had a problem, a big problem. And they are absolutely terrified that Trump, performing this 9/11 U-turn, that he is going to put them in a position where they may have to wait decades, generations, maybe even centuries before they're going to be able to put things back on course as they were set following 9/11. That's what it all boils down to, folks. It really all boils down to that. The neocons, the Israeli lobby, they don't care about immigration. They don't care about the border wall. They don't care about the Second Amendment. They don't care about abortion or about gay marriage or about the environment. All they care about is Israel and about the very particular goal of creating this theocratic empire between the Nile and the Euphrates rivers. Now, I can hear some of you out there asking yourselves, well, if all of these other issues, you know, abortion, gun control, immigration, borders, gay marriage, the environment, and all, if these things don't really matter to them, then why are they so much at the forefront in this drive to remove Trump as president? Because this has been the narrative, this has been the screeching chorus that has existed now for 4 years. Trump is a racist. Trump is a misogynist. Trump hates immigrants. Trump hates, I already said that. He hates women. He's a gun nut. He attracts neo-Nazis and anti-Semites, and he hates the environment. We're all going to die. We're all going to die because of him having pulled out of the Paris Climate Accords or whatever it is. Yes, folks, all of these barking dogs, okay, all of these barking dogs, the only reason they're barking is because they have been set loose. That's the bottom line. There have been plenty of other Republican presidents who have come and gone who were equally as conservative, quote-unquote, as Donald Trump. And yet we didn't see this take place. We didn't see the level of noise, the quantity or quality of noise that we have experienced in the last 4 years. Didn't see an impeachment. We haven't seen anything like what we are seeing now. So where were all of these barking dogs before? They've always been there. So why weren't they loosed? Well, very simply, folks, because the various presidents that preceded Trump, the Republican presidents, they basically did as they were told. Okay. Those who started to tug on the leash a little bit, they were gotten rid of. Nixon was removed under threat of impeachment. And again, folks, for the same reason, because he was pushing for a resolution to this situation in the Middle East. He was replaced by Ford, who, upon taking office, picked up where Nixon had left off and went so far as to withhold billions of dollars in foreign aid to Israel for 6 months, and he lost his re-election to Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter picked up as soon as he was elected with trying to come to some resolution to the Middle East situation, and he lost re-election. Ronald Reagan, he pushed for some resolution to this, but everything blew up in his face, literally, between the Sabra and Shatila massacres in Lebanon, followed up by the Marine barracks bombings that killed almost 300 of our Marines. And then, of course, Iran-Contra that dogged him for the rest of his administration. George H.W. Bush, he gave Israel what Israel was demanding with regards to the Gulf War, but then when he started putting a headlock on Israel and forcing her to come to the Madrid peace conference, he lost re-election to Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton pushed through the Oslo Accords, and he was on his way to coming to some type of resolution to the Middle East situation, and he found himself being impeached as a result of his little tryst with a nice Jewish girl named Monica Lewinsky. We haven't seen anything like this, though, folks, what we are seeing now. And I think in large part because of 9/11 and because of the fact that the Jews as a group, they know Donald Trump very well. They know him from his time as a real estate developer in Manhattan, in New York City. Okay, you're not going to work in the real estate development business in Manhattan, and you don't rub elbows every day with the organized Jewish community because they own that business. And they knew a long time ago that Donald Trump, if he ever got political, he was going to be a problem. And this is the reason why, when he announced that he was going to run for president, why the screeching campaign against him was instantaneous, it was volcanic, and it was apocalyptic in its volume. And it has remained that way for 4 years. Now, I have to go to these lengths, folks, in pointing out these obvious things, because unfortunately, tragically, I would say, there is a large percentage of people out there chirping and chatting and, you know, making a lot of noise on their websites and on their podcasts and all of the rest of that, saying that that this is all part of the script, that these same organized Jewish interests who helped pull off or who pulled off 9/11 and who maneuvered the little monkey in the White House, that's one of Mike Piper's terms, by the way, folks. He always felt bad about saying that. He said, you know, because it's not fair to compare George Bush to monkeys, because monkeys can be sweet little animals. Anyway, it's the same neocons who pulled off 9/11 and who maneuvered the little monkey in the White House at that time, George W. Bush, into launching this murderous war against the Islamic world for the benefit of Judea. These same people, folks, these same people are the ones who are out to destroy, who have been out from the beginning, to destroy the presidency of Donald J. Trump. And unfortunately, as I said, there is this depressingly high percentage of people out there who consider themselves political experts and experts in political analysis by virtue of the fact that they happen to have an opinion and a computer hooked up to the internet, who swear up and down that Trump is one of them, he is their favored son, and that all of this is just an illusion, it's just an act. The impeachment was just an act. The pandemic and the political and economic and social instability, the riots and everything else, that this is all just an act and it's being done to help Donald Trump. And unfortunately, folks, these people, you know, rather than making good on what they claim is their mission to liberate the world from Zionist intrigue and infection, they have lent their voices, just like these idiots that I was on the Iranian program with the other night, just as they have lent their voices to basically putting things back on track to where they were with regards to these wars in the Middle East. And so I have to point out these very basic and rudimentary facts in order to bring some sanity to this discussion, folks, because as I said 4 years ago, this is the real deal, okay? This is the real deal. They are going to pull the United States down. In fact, I think that even if Biden does manage by hook or by crook to steal this election, I think that the plan is just to keep the present course, to maintain the present course. I think that the plan is that they would see America destroyed 50 or 60 years from now, after we had paid the bill, paid our debt, paid the interest and the principal on what our great grandparents accrued in their destruction of Judea. I'm talking about the Romans. And then after we had paid that, you know, just like having a horse, you know, you have it pull your plow and pull your buggy, and then at the end of it, when the horse is old and worn out, then you eat it. But I think now they understand that something has been awakened with Trump, and that there's not going to be any putting this genie back in the bottle. And I think that they have decided that they are just going to go ahead and change the to bring closer the planned destruction of America. I think that that's what this is really all about. I don't think that Biden being elected, that they're going to go back. They may. I mean, just like with the impeachment business, they knew they didn't have the votes to get Trump convicted, but they went ahead with it anyway. And I think this was a strategic move on their part to have him focused on the impeachment so that he wasn't paying attention to this right hook that was coming at his jaw known as COVID-19. By the same token, I think that all of this business that's going on now, that even if Biden does get elected, I think that they're just going to go ahead and they're just going to pull the country down, folks, just like they did the Twin Towers on 9/11. So, we will be exploring these things, folks. And, you know, I can't make any promises about how long we'll be able to continue doing this. We're just going to have to see. We're going to have to see how things go. And there's no question about the fact that the same powers that be that pulled my website down and basically just scrubbed the entire internet of any interviews that I did that happened to appear on YouTube or anything like that, that they will, in some respect, they will try to do the same thing with this. They're not going to allow any sanity to prevail that's going to screw up their recipe. That's why they will allow all of the kooks and the crazies to keep operating. They love those types. Love those types who muddy the waters, make them muddier. And, you know, a thought that has actually hit me recently, folks. And we need to, I'm not going to spend a lot of time as I have in years past complaining about the quote-unquote movement, because I have come to understand that there is no movement, folks. And in fact, I'm now starting to lean towards the acceptance of the fact that there never was any 9/11 truth movement. Again, I think that the very moment that those five Israeli intelligence officers were arrested on 9/11, that Israel knew that she had a problem. That one fact alone was going to be a problem because it was there in the public record. It had made its way onto the mainstream news media. And if there was ever a piece of evidence that someone out to frustrate Israel's long-range plans, if there was ever one piece of evidence that could be used to prove, or at least to raise some very, very large questions about the quote-unquote official narrative surrounding the terrorist attacks on 9/11, if there was one piece of evidence, it was the fact that these five Israeli intelligence officers were arrested after they had been seen by witnesses cheering as the towers were coming down. And I now think that it is entirely possible that the entire 9/11 truth movement, if indeed it wasn't created by those same elements, at the very least, they made sure to penetrate that movement from the very beginning, because they knew that this piece of evidence involving these intelligence officers, that this was a big problem, big problem. And so naturally, anything like this, when we study the way that that organized Jewry has done things throughout history, they move in very quietly, like a thief in the night. That was the imagery that Jesus used. They're like a thief in the night, they come in when everybody's asleep, and they sow weeds. They sow the tares in the wheat field, and the next thing you know, when the owner of the field wakes up in the morning, he looks outside and he sees that what was his wheat field now is full of weeds, full of tares. And I believe that that this is exactly what has happened, and this is the reason why we have had the kinds of defeats, major defeats that we've had as a quote-unquote movement over the last 19 years. The entire Arab Spring hoax that was swallowed hook, line, and sinker by most of the 9/11 truth movement was an indicator. The entire Sandy Hook hoax nonsense that more than anything else destroyed our credibility and our ability to maintain an intelligent conversation about the very serious problems that we face as a result of this. The Sandy Hook hoax thing was just an absolute disaster. And folks, like I have said before, you have to look at all of this in the bigger picture. You have to back up and you have to look at the whole thing and how it relates to right now. Okay. We had 19 years, well, actually 15 years since 9/11, to build something and build a narrative that would be effective as an antidote in helping to de-hypnotize the American mind. Because after 9/11 happened, folks, there were a lot of people who wanted to know what the hell had just happened and what was going to come from it. And we had this opportunity over the course of 15 years, and I say 15 because it was 15 years ago that, or I'm sorry, 15 years after 9/11, that Donald Trump descended the escalator at Trump Towers and announced that he was seeking the presidency. And had we done a better job, if we had rooted out the nutters, okay, the Sandy Hook people, certainly the white nationalists were a huge pain in the ass for Trump, especially after Charlottesville. Had we done a better job rooting out these weeds that had been deliberately planted in our garden, then we would have had a better narrative that we could have offered people so that we would be further along in this discussion, this necessary discussion, and it would have made the president's job of liberating America from this this death sentence that we have been under now for a long time. It would have made it somewhat easier. Now, I'm not going to over-aggrandize the importance of the 9/11 truth movement, okay? It really did produce very few talented thinkers and writers and analysts and all of the rest of that. Most of it was made up of kooks. I just was sent a link the other day from a friend of mine. He said, "You got to listen to this." And I said, "Well, what is it?" And he said, "It's a podcast that was just done on one of these 9/11 truther websites." And I said, "Well, what is it? What's the topic?" And they said, "Well, there's a guy on there who swears by the health benefits that come from drinking your own urine." And I said, "You're kidding me." And he said, "No." And this is what it has become, folks. And so when we have people like this out there squandering away what little time and resources we have in trying to alter the narrative, and that narrative, folks, that narrative turns into policy, turns into politics. It turns into tectonic events like we see taking place right now. So I'm not going to spend really any time pissing and moaning, another phrase borrowed from our dear friend Mike Piper, pissing and moaning about the lamentable status of our quote-unquote movement, because it's not there, folks. And as I said, it may have had a brief moment in the sun, you know, maybe just a few seconds or a few minutes, but in general, it has just been turned into the Tower of Babel, where it's just nothing but a bunch of noise now. And so I tell you that as an administrative note, that I'm not going to have a lot of guests on the program. If I do decide to go forward with it, I'm not going to have a lot of guests. I may have an occasional guest appearance by somebody who I worked with in the past. But in general, folks, it's just going to be me and thee. And I hope to bring some clarity to all of this that otherwise is not there at the moment. I find it very distressing that nobody else is having some of these discussions about what the real issues are. Is an election being stolen? Yes, it is. Who's stealing it? Well, Trump's enemies. Well, who are Trump's enemies? Oh, the Democrats. Well, then why are there Republicans who are working with the Democrats to do this? Just like Mike Piper's book, folks, Final Judgment, Mike didn't delve into the minutia of what happened on the day that Kennedy was assassinated. He said that that was really a secondary and really a very distracting aspect of the story. He said the question that has to be asked is, who wanted to get rid of Kennedy and why? And by the same token, you know, I'm not going to, if we do go forward with this program, I'm not going to get into the minutia of, you know, the tests for COVID-19 or whatever. I mean, as soon as the virus appeared, I said, this is what they're going to use to bring him down. They're going to collapse the economy, and they're going to blame it on him, and this is what they're going to use to bring him down. And you know, folks, it just so happens. Now, I knew that this was how they were going to do it because the news of the virus appeared literally within days of Trump announcing his plans for his ultimate peace deal in the Middle East. You'll remember he had Netanyahu there, and he unveiled the plans for the Middle East and the peace deal to resolve the Palestinian situation. And Netanyahu was smiling and clapping and saying, thank you, Mr. President, and all the rest of that. And within 2 days, all of a sudden, like one of the plagues of Egypt coming out of the Old Testament, we have this this virus that has literally knocked the world on its rear end. And I said, okay, so that's it. They are going to, this is how they are going to bring him down. And there's been no discussion about that, folks, other than the articles that did appear in the Israeli press right after the coronavirus was an issue, where you had writers in the Israeli press saying that this was one of the plagues of, just like out of the Old Testament, and this is a punishment. This is a punishment upon the world, and especially upon the United States of America, for forcing Israel to give up the land that was promised to her. That's what it's all about, folks. Anyway, folks, that's it for today. I think I'm going to go ahead and post this program. All of you out there of goodwill, I hope everything is going well in your lives. I hope you're adjusting. I'll come up with some type of thing to keep the website funded and all of the rest of that, because it is a paid website now, and right now I bought the cheapest plan that there is, because to get more bandwidth, you have to pay more. So I've had people inquire about, you know, helping to fund this endeavor, and I'll find some way of doing this, since every other way that I've used in the past, they have shut it down and taken the money that I needed to keep going with it. But I'll come up with something. But anyway, folks, as I said, I hope you're all doing well. I hope you're all faring well. I'd like to give you better news that we're going to get through this okay. But I think that we are facing extremely, extremely dangerous times. And as I said 4 years ago, buckle up, because it's going to be an extremely bumpy ride. And we'll just take it as it comes, folks. So in the meantime, until we do meet again, God willing, take care of yourselves, take care of your loved ones, batten down the hatches, and get ready for whatever is coming your way, folks, because it's not going to be easy, it's not going to be pretty, but as Jesus Christ said when he was describing these days, when all of these things begin to happen, look upwards in gratitude, because your day of redemption is approaching. Take care, folks, and we'll see you next time.